The title of my message this morning is The Power of Christ and the Cross, and I think you just saw that depicted in that song. Last Sunday we heard Paul, or listened as Paul wrote to the Colossian church to share with them the joy that he had and that he felt as he heard and saw the work of the gospel in the life of the Colossian church. He talked about and testified about their faith and how their faith was expressed through love, and how that faith and love at work was had produced within them a hope that is unlike any other hope, a hope that only God can give us through relationship with Him. And from that point, we also looked at how Paul challenged them to continue to walk in faith and bear fruit as God's Spirit worked in and through them. And so we pick up in the middle of chapter 1, and we're just going to look at two very simple verses this morning. If you would, stand with me. It's not Colossians 1, 1 through 8. I forgot to put the verse on there, but it's Colossians 1, 13 through 14. Paul says, "For he rescued us from the dominion, from the domain of darkness, and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an expression of love you have shown us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Father, we understand that because of your love for us, you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, puts their faith in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. You have lavished upon us a love that no one or no thing can repeat or replicate. And God, we thank you for the love that you have shown us through Jesus. And Father, it's a message. It's good news that we do not have to stay in our sin, but that we can be alive in Christ because of what the cross and the empty grave means today. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. For that, Lord, may we live with that truth in our lives. That yes, you did die on the cross, but you most certainly rose again to bring us new life. And Father, we celebrate the new life we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray for those that are even here this morning in this room that will hear your word, that if they do not know you personally, if they've never received this good news of Jesus Christ for salvation and lordship, that today would be the day of their salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So much happens when a sinner believes in the gospel of Jesus for salvation. So much happens. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that he does make all things new again. He tells us that if we are in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And that's powerful. That is a powerful message, that at the instant we give our lives to Christ, we as lost sinners, as we trust Jesus for our salvation, we become a new creation. Born again, we receive a fresh start and everything changes in our lives. What a wonderful thing. And how does this happen? How is this possible? How is it possible that we can be born again, that we can be a new creation? Well, it happens through the power of Christ and the cross. And Paul describes in these simple two verses a simple but profound transformation that occurs. And we're going to walk through these this morning. As you look at the first part of verse 13, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness." And the first thing I want you to see this morning is that God rescued us because we are lost. God rescued us because we are lost. Our condition is, before Christ, that we are enslaved to the dominion of darkness, the domain of darkness. We probably at that time don't think of it that way. But on the other side of giving our lives to Christ, we look back, and as we think about all that we have been delivered from and rescued from, we realize that we were enslaved to darkness and that we needed Jesus. We were lost. You see, in our condition, we are, as lost people, under the dominion, the domain of darkness. We're held captive by a cruel master, and his name is the devil, Satan, who wants nothing less than our soul's eternal captivity in death, darkness, sin, and hell. That's what he wants. And the word power, when you think about the word power, it has this idea of authority or jurisdiction that he has, this domain, this power, this dominion, this captivity that he has above us. And it's described very well by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. Look here with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Paul says it another way in Romans 3:23. What does he say? "For all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God." Without Christ, that's where we are. We're lost. We are held captive by the dominion of darkness. That to be lost is to be without Christ. That's a term that we church people use a lot. We talk about the lost, or we talk about someone being lost. It doesn't mean that it's like the child who wandered off from their parent and they're lost at the grocery store. Now, this is much more serious than that. As serious as that is, this is much more serious. It means that we are without Christ. And we need to be rescued. It's a hopeless, folks. It's a hopeless condition to be lost. Isn't it? Yeah. Hope. I mean, some of you may remember a time. Men, I know we never get lost, do we? We never get lost. We always know exactly where we're going. But surely, we were in a store yesterday, and little brother and sister were lost from their mom. Now, brother didn't seem to be all that concerned about it, but sister was very concerned about it. And I helped them find their mom. They were lost. At that moment, that little girl, that was the worst thing in the world that she could think of, is that here she is, lost in a big old store, and who else is guiding her along but her big brother? But as serious as that is, it's even more serious to be wandering through the world without Jesus. To be lost without him is even more serious than being lost as a child. That's our condition. We're lost. We need to be rescued. We need a Savior. Now, if you're still in that Ephesians passage, we finished at verse 3. Let's pick up at verse 4. After Paul eloquently describes just how we are, he says, But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, the first part of Ephesians is a beautiful, beautiful letter from Paul to the church, and he talks about all these things that we have, and the key phrase throughout it all, you'll see it repeated over and over again, the phrase in Christ, or because of Christ. This salvation that we have, this Savior that we have, it's this gift that we have in salvation, it is because of Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our liberator. We are lost, and as Paul reminds us in this Ephesians passage, that without God's grace, we will continue in that state. We will continue down the path of lostness unless God intervenes. You know what that tells us? That means that there is absolutely nothing you or I can do to save ourselves. There's nothing you and I can do to rescue ourselves. It is a place of lostness, a place of need, and that need can only be met by Jesus. He is our liberator, our Savior, our rescuer. And Paul declares this glorious truth to us here. He reminds us, he declares that we have been rescued from a horrific bondage. When God saves us by His mighty grace, He broke the bonds that forever hold us through Jesus Christ, and He sets us free. Now, I remember as a kid, and you know, you have memories from your past that you're not sure if they were a dream or if they were something that actually happened. I don't know if that's you, but that's me. But I remember as a little kid, we used to have a red and white ski boat. And I remember going to the lake with my brother and my dad and one of his friends named Ronnie Duncan. And I remember being on the shore with, I guess, my sister and my mom. And I remember I had a fake green cooking pot. You know, it was like for a fake kitchen, plastic kitchen. And that green cooking pot had a smiley face on the side of it. And I was dipping water and playing with it. And I remember seeing fish down there. Well, I wanted to see those little fish in the water, so I stuck my head down in there, into the water. And I remember the feeling I couldn't get up out of the water. I remember having that feeling. I remember having that sense of terror that here I am stuck with my head in the water, and I can't, for whatever reason, get my head out of the water. Now, what happens if you keep your head in the water for an extended amount of time? Does anybody know? You drown, yes. So it is a very serious situation. And I remember my mom or my sister or somebody grabbing me and pulling me up out of the water. And that's what God does to us. He has seen that we are in a horrible situation. And He reaches down and He rescues us from the darkness. And brings us to light, just as the lights just went up just now. We didn't plan that, but that was pretty good, Jeff. God has reached into our lost situation and draws us to Himself. He has rescued us. He has delivered us from our darkness, our bondage, our sentence of death, and our sin. He has set us free to light. What a wonderful thing. John writes about this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "This is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." So to be rescued from darkness means that we are rescued from darkness to light. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He rescues us from the grip of sin and death by His Son, Jesus Christ, and brings us into a relationship, not with darkness, but with light. And the second thing I want you to see this morning is not only has God rescued us, but He's also transferred us. He's transferred us. Look at the second part of verse 13. First part says, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." So he's transferred us. What does that mean? Well, Jesus did not just bring us out of darkness. Jesus did not just bring us out of the grip of the devil and out of that. But he takes us from that and doesn't just place us somewhere in the middle, in some strange place. He takes us from death to life, from darkness to light. He transfers us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. And we just read his Son is all about light. So we're taken from a place, a kingdom of darkness, to a kingdom of light. See, if you think about the natural world that we look around and we see, there's no such transference from one kingdom to another that we see in this world. I mean, think about it. A vegetable never becomes an animal, does it? You can grow tomatoes and look at them and do all kinds of things to them, but you will never plant tomatoes and grow puppies, will you? You won't. You can't take a mineral and turn it into a plant. See, there are certain boundaries set in a natural world that are impossible, but in the spiritual realm, because God can do all things, he takes us from one kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, through his Son, to a kingdom of light. That's a pretty phenomenal thing, folks. He takes that old sin-sick sinner and transfers him from death to life. He literally moves us from one place to another. And I've said this before, one of the most glorious things, do you realize that every time we experience or hear about or see someone give their life to Christ, do you realize that we're seeing an absolute miracle of God when that happens? Because that person is stuck in the domain of darkness. They can't get out by themselves. God rescues them and brings them to him. It's a miracle. From bringing us from death to life, we get to see that when we see someone give their lives to Christ. It's a wonderful, beautiful depiction of God's great grace. And John reminds us again in his gospel. Jesus says in verse 24 of chapter 5, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death," listen to this, "out of death into life." Jesus says that. He has brought us from death to life. So before Christ, we're under this dominion, this kingdom, this power of the devil. He doesn't care for us. All he wants to do is dishonor the name of the Lord. He wants every one of us to live in darkness and eventually drop off into hell. And he could care less about our peace, our faith, our love, our joy, our blessings, anything. He doesn't care about our salvation. But when Jesus Christ came and we give our lives to him, we enter his kingdom. When we do that, we make that decision, we come under the rule, the lordship of the one who loves us and has shown his love for us. He gives us everything the old devil would not give us and could not give us. He gives us eternal life. He gives us eternal hope, a living hope. He gives us salvation. He gives us peace. He gives us joy because he loves for us. He cares for us. And he forever wants to be with us. Through Christ and his cross, we can pass from death to life, from kingdom to darkness. We can transfer from darkness to the kingdom of light. It's a wonderful transfer, isn't it? The third thing I want you to see is that not only has God rescued us and transferred us, but as we see in verse 14, God has redeemed us. He says, I'll read back at verse 13, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You know, Paul tells us that the rescue and the transfer are possible because of what we see happen in verse 14. We have been redeemed. How's that song go? "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't remember the rest of the words. I don't have them written out. But his child and forever I am. I remember that part, yes. We have been redeemed. We have been redeemed not through anything that you and I have done. Now, I know many of you, and I know that you're good people, that you do most of the time good things, right? That most of the time you think good thoughts, right? We'll never be good enough to earn anything like salvation. Can't do that. God says it's by grace that we've been saved. It's because of what He has done for us. We have been purchased, redeemed, purchased out of slavery and bondage to sin and death, and brought into the family of God through Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven of our sin. Every evil thing we've ever done, every mark that's ever stood against us, that we have done today, that we will do in the future, has been removed and washed away. We are as clean in the eyes of God as if sin had never, now or will ever be part of our lives, because of what Christ has done on the cross. These things are ours by His grace through the faith that we have in Him as our Savior and Lord. Most of you probably heard the name Buddha before, haven't you? Buddha is credited with saying, "Work out your own salvation. Do not depend on others." Think about that for a second. Work out your own salvation. Do not depend on others. Anything wrong with that, y'all? Folks, this is the root of the world's hopelessness. So we live in a world that thinks that we must do something. That we must do something to better our place in life. That we must work it out ourselves and not depend on anyone. Folks, we are powerless to save ourselves, transfer ourselves, or redeem ourselves. We have to depend on Jesus Christ and no one else for our salvation. In his book, Counterfeit Gospels, Trevin Wax makes this statement. He says, "It may be appealing to us to agree with the world and to think that we're not as bad as the Bible says we are. But this watered-down understanding of sin actually robs us of the beauty of God's grace." He says, you know, this world that we're in, it sort of tells us, well, you're not as bad as the Bible says you are. But when we begin to think that we're not as bad as we really are, that we're really, really good, that we haven't really done too bad, that maybe our good outweighs our bad, we are actually cheapening and devaluing God's grace for us in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, he asks this question. He says, "What really looks more glorious? Is a God who loves us by ignoring our sin? Or a God who loves us by paying the enormous debt for our sin by taking it upon Himself? What looks more glorious?" He says, when sin is seen as the rebellion that it is, grace is seen as costly. And we realize how it transforms us. But when sin is shrunken to the point that we have no accountability to God for our actions, then grace is cheap and our lives are completely unchanged. I shared with many of you Sunday night that I think so much of our problems today could be solved by a better view of who God is and what He's done for us. We do live in a post-Christian, post-church culture when it's all about me, me, me. And what might be good for you or what might apply to you doesn't apply to me. Well, we may believe, or we may think we believe that, or people may promote that. They may say it's the way things are today, but folks, that doesn't line up with God's Word. And it doesn't matter which era we're in of society, God's Word is truth, and God's Word says that I am a nasty, filthy, sin-sick individual, and the only thing that can help me is the salvation of Jesus Christ. And guess what? That's what it says about you too. Oh, but Brother Matt, you're just being so mean. How could you judge anybody like that? I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the book says. And the book is God's word to you. By living as though we're not accountable to God for what we do, say, where we go, what we think, how we act, how we raise our kids. To think that we're not accountable to God to that, that someday we'll have to give an account to that, it cheapens what Jesus Christ did on the cross, folks. It cheapens it. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus changed your life? Has he? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation and experienced the difference that only he can make in your life? If you have truly met him, then a change has occurred. But if there's been no change in your life, then folks, you've probably never met the Jesus of the Bible. There's power in Christ and the cross. It's a power that's powerful to save us, to take us from darkness to light, from death to life. From one realm to another. From an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven. And Christ did that. He paid that. He made that way for us when he went to the cross for you and I. This morning, you may need to experience that salvation yourself. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we deserve for our sin is death. But there's a beautiful part of that verse. It's the second half of the verse. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. God wants you to experience the life that only he can bring you. The salvation that only he can bring you. The lordship that only he can bring you and lead you in. And maybe today you need to make that decision to receive that beautiful gift of grace that God has given us in Christ Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. We're going to pray here in just a minute, but I want you to listen to me. I want to challenge you, if you need to make that decision this morning, to do so today. May not get the opportunity later. Now, those of you that you can say honestly without any doubt that you have received that gift of salvation at some point in your life, you can look back and say it was at this point in my life or this day in my life or at this time. Some people know the exact time that they made that decision. You can say that. I don't know about you, but as I read God's word, especially this morning, and as I listen to the songs that we have sung, and I see the visual depiction of the price that Jesus Christ paid for me, I can't help but say, thank you, Jesus. Because I don't know about y'all, but I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. But God, in his lavish, unmerited grace and favor and love for me, said, I know you don't deserve it. But I love you, and you're hopeless without me, and I want to spend eternity with you. God doesn't just create us for a certain set of days. He creates us for eternity, and he wants to spend that eternity with us. But rather than make us do that, he gives us a choice to receive that gift of salvation or to reject it. So maybe if we have made that decision, we just need to say thank you and praise God this morning. You know, whatever needs you may have in your life today, there is one place and one person to bring them to, and that is the throne of Jesus Christ. If we bring our hearts, our lives to Jesus, He will change everything that needs to be changed. Will you pray with me?